doubt, unworthiness, anger, guilt. These are not of God. If you are struggling with any of those things today, and I'm going to list it one more time, fear, shame, worry, doubt, unworthiness, guilt, anger, etc., unforgiveness, let's add all kinds of other things in there. If you are battling with those feelings, you need to be prepared for those attacks, because that's exactly what they are. They're attacks and lies of the devil, because that's not what God has spoken over your life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, January 11th, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled, There is Hope. And our text comes to us from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. And now here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, Father. We thank you because as we focus on new beginnings, as we focus on 21 days of prayer and fasting, Lord, we are so grateful for the hope that we get from your word, from the hope that we can carry from your promise. Lord, we did not ask, you offered. So help us to receive that today and what you have for us. We don't ask you to bless this time, Lord, because you've already blessed us. But in your abundant love, bless this time that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to be up here today as we begin this new journey. It's not really a new journey. We've just started a new year. And as we dive into this, I don't want us to be getting caught up in the idea of New Year's resolutions or, you know, a new year, a new me, you know, because you're still you. Uniquely and wonderfully made exactly the way God wanted you to be. But there are some things in our life that we're going to have to get through. There are some things in our life we're going to have to face, and we're going to need to be challenged by certain thoughts, ideas, beliefs, or habits that we can surrender to God through these 21 days. Things that we can say to ourselves, I know it's not a new me because I've already been made new in Christ, but it's a new way of me being me. It's a new way of me living. It's a new way of me looking at life, discovering God on a deeper level. And so today, as we go through this, right, what I want everyone to understand that is as a whole church, we're focused on the idea of things being new this month, new beginnings. The same text that we're studying today, and here's the same text the kids are going to be studying in the back right now. The men of power are going to be focused on new beginnings. Loretta's going to be leaning into the new beginnings idea as we allow God to make us new. Amen?
Amen.
And so today there are three things that we're going to cover. I want to talk a little bit about our 21 days of prayer and some spiritual practices and things that I hope you will be implementing into your everyday life. I want to talk to you a little bit about who you are in Christ, your identity. Because who you are and what you believe you are, isn't really going to line up always with who God says you are. And so the idea is for us to understand who God says we are and what that does to our life and how it really makes an impact. And then we're going to look at God's word and the hope that comes from God's word in the season of new beginnings. So let's get started with our 21 days of prayer and fasting, right? It's 21 days that we begin today, and it takes us through the end of the month. And, you know, we're not just doing this as individuals. However, you will be feeling very lonely at times while you're going through this. You'll feel separated from everyone. You'll feel like, well, I don't know how to pray if I'm not at church. Well, what if Pastor Zoni's not up there leading me in prayer? Do I know how to do this? Or maybe you're just unsure of how to practice through this. But what I want you to know is that you're not alone as an individual in this. As that clipboard's going around right now, people are signing up. It's okay if you're praying at the same time as somebody else. That's all right. God's big enough. God's strong enough. He can hear it. He can filter through all of this. I remember a story my mother told me about when she was dating my father, and they were in Costa Rica, and my mother was part of the crazy Methodist church where, you know, they were very proper, you know. And my father was Pentecostal, which to the Methodists were crazy screaming Christians, right? And they had cornered him once to try and challenge him on the idea of speaking in tongues. And how is it that God could hear all of that noise? Oh, you guys scream and yell in your services. And he so eloquently said, God can hear everybody pray all at once. It doesn't matter how loud you pray. So if you're looking for a certain time of the week to pray and you look at the calendar going by you and you're like, oh, somebody already took that, it's okay. Sign up. Pray alongside each other. But know that you're not doing this as an individual, and we're not just doing it as the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. This 21 days of prayer and fasting is something that churches all over the world do. But I don't want you to think of yourself as part of just the church. I want you to think of yourselves as disciples of Christ who are stepping into this practice of prayer on a way and on a level that you've never done it before. Now, I know that there are so many other disciples of Jesus who are doing this right now. And in my heart, as I've prayed and I've seeked the Lord, there's one thing that God said to me. And he said, if my people who call out my name, he will hear them. And I will do something, and it's going to be awesome. So some of you are waiting on God for something. Well, lean into him, begin to pray, get into it, because it's going to be awesome. Now, God is doing new things, but the Word of God also tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be new to you. That doesn't mean that through this time of practicing prayer and fasting and putting spiritual disciplines into your life, that God is going to do something new in your life, and I promise you, it's going to be good. Amen. God is not going to leave you hanging in this. There will be fruit. And part of my prayer is that while God doesn't do new things because he's God, it will be new to you, and that God will take you to another level. And part of this journey is putting into play the spiritual practices. And so in the packets that you've received, whether you got a PDF version, a printed version, or you'll go download it from our website, you're gonna see that there are lists and instructions on some spiritual disciplines. Now, spiritual disciplines aren't there to freak you out. We're not turning into Buddhists. You know, when it says meditating on scripture, you know, it doesn't mean you're looking for enlightenment. You know, it's not that idea. You know, in the Buddhist custom, what they do is they meditate to empty themselves. We meditate on God's word to be filled with God's power, to be filled with the Lord, to have the Holy Spirit fill our bodies and take us to places and levels we never, ever expected ourselves to be able to go. There are so many different practices that you can begin in this time. We say prayer and fasting, and if you're willing to do 21 days of fasting, more power to you. I will be praying for you that God gives you strength through that. But we're not asking for 21 days of starvation, even though God would see you through it. But fasting is one of the spiritual disciplines, as Pastor said. Not eating a meal and not praying is just dieting. That's not fasting, okay? So if you're going to sacrifice a meal, you sacrifice that meal to spend time with God. But there are others, such as praying the scripture, silence, solitude, slowing. Slowing is something that as a society we need to work on quite a bit. And I don't mean slowing down to just lay on the couch and do nothing. I mean slowing down and bringing God into your decision making. Slowing down and bringing God into your words, thinking before you speak, but not just thinking what you want to say, thinking, Lord, what would you have me say? And we slow down a pace of life in order to allow God to infiltrate every aspect of our life. There's fasting and so many other things, conversational prayer, but there's one spiritual discipline that I kind of want to talk to you about real quick, and that's fixed hour prayer. Because whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, as that clipboard has gone around and you're signing up for a day and a time, you are creating a spiritual discipline of a fixed hour prayer. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be on your knees for an hour praying out to God. We're not looking for some show. Jesus is very adamant when he teaches us how to pray, to not pray for show, to not go do it in front of people, to be seen. But to find a time and a place where you can connect with God. And that is what you're doing. You will, throughout the day, you will be creating a regular, consistent pattern of attending to your relationship with God. Where you, at a specific time through the day, you have this goal. And that is to interrupt your life. To interrupt your work. To interrupt, dare I say it, the idols in your life who control you. Oh, I want to pray at 8 o'clock. Oh, wait, that's when my novella's on. I can't pray at 8 o'clock. Uh-oh. We just noticed there's an idol.
Oh, I can't fast and pray on Sundays because we already went to church and then there's football on and I'm not going to sacrifice my football. You see, you're going to start to notice these things that have a lot of importance in your life that take the place of time with God. Now, how anything in your life could be more important than spending time with God is something I pray you will discuss with the Lord very deeply over these next 21 days and beyond. But it's about interrupting your work and your life at a set time to give it to God. And there will be fruit from this. And the fruit will be developing this ability to bring God into the everyday moments of your life and hear his small, whispering, peace-bringing, mercy and grace-giving voice so that he can guide you. When you sit down and you turn your heart towards God at specific times of the day, and we don't do this to check it off our checklist for the day. You know, I got to get up. I got to brush my teeth. I got to take a shower. I got to do this. I got to do this. Oh, got to get my prayer in. You know, it's not about a checklist. It's about setting it up, being intentional, and bringing God into the mundane, everyday life that we live. And not forgetting he's with you in the car. He's with you in the shower. He's with you when you go to bed. He's with you when you wake up. He's with you when you argue with your wife. He's with you when you argue with your husband. He's with you when you yell at your kids. He's with you in all of those moments. And yet sometimes without a fixed hour of prayer, without focusing on stepping into it, we can forget that he's there. So fixed hour prayer will bring fruit of developing this ability to hear a word from God in the midst of your daily activities. And there are so many different practices that you can experiment with. And I encourage you to go through your packet, look at the practices, and if you have any question about any of those practices, we're here. And we know how to do them, and we know how to work through them, and we know how to instruct in you on how to do them. So please, just ask, okay? So in these next 21 days, begin to build your spiritual disciplines. For those of you who are in the younger demographic, it's like leveling up and prestiging and unlocking new characters in your video games to be able to go deeper and get closer to God. For those of you who have no idea what I mean by all of that, just pray. God will reveal it to you too. The second thing that I want to talk to you about today is how much it matters how you see yourself in Christ. Because as we jump into this 21 days of prayer and fasting and we begin to seek the Lord, you need to be warned. The devil's going to come after you. The last thing the devil wants any of you to do is to lean into your relationship with God. Now, some of you think, oh, my relationship with God is great. I don't think we could get any deeper. Well, I promise if you begin a very sincere 21 days of prayer and fasting, the devil's coming for you. You know, the Bible describes the devil as the accuser. That's his role. That's his job. You know, the devil has no authority over you. But boy, is he good at whispering in your ear and accusing you of things. And that those accusations that come from him about things from your past, about things that could be in the future, what they do is they take you off of course of being focused on God. And so you need to disarm the devil. You need to disarm the accuser, because the accuser is going to come and he's going to bring to you these ideas that can be devastating for your spiritual growth. Things like fear, shame, worry, doubt, unworthiness, anger, guilt. These are not of God. If you are struggling with any of those things today, and I'm going to list it one more time, fear, shame, worry, doubt, unworthiness, guilt, anger, etc., unforgiveness, let's add all kinds of other things in there. If you are battling with those feelings, you need to be prepared for those attacks, because that's exactly what they are. They're attacks and lies of the devil, because that's not what God has spoken over your life. God has not called you someone to be wonderfully and fearfully living in fear. God did not call you to anxious living. God did not call you to guilt, nor shame. I've stood up here for years singing songs about how he's taken our guilt and our shame away. And you sing along with me, yet
in moments of our lives, we fall into the trap that the accuser sets. So get ready, because as we're trying to seek God, sometimes we can't get the accuser out of our head. So we need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We are the church. We are disciples of Jesus. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if those of us who have proclaimed and confessed Jesus to be Lord and believe in our heart that he is our Lord and our Savior, we have been saved. We have changed identity completely. We are disciples of Christ. We are the ones who God... Look, did you know that you are the one that God so loved that he sent his son to die for you? Do you walk around in life knowing that, holding on to that? That you don't have to have it all figured out. That you don't have to be the one who fixes everything. Because God already did it. And he did it because he loves you. Right? That's who you are. That means something. And so this time, these three things I'm about to share with you is something to help us remember just who we are in Christ. A few of these statements I've shared in either in the men's room, in the men's group, not the men's room, the men's group. Lord, I remind myself who I am in you, and I'm grateful for your mercy and your grace, and I beg the audio video team to edit that part out of the YouTube video. In Jesus' name, amen. I have shared this in the men's group, and I have shared it from here before, and I've had you repeat one of these things to me. Maybe you were here, maybe you weren't. If you were here and you remember it, praise God. If you don't remember it, well, then it's good that we're going to do this again. But there are three statements that I want to read to you and share with you and talk a little bit about, because this is really important. As we begin 21 days in prayer and fasting, the devil's going to stare you down. The devil's going to do everything he can to get you off of this pattern and rhythm of bringing God into the mundane and everyday moments of life where you're going to have deeper relationship with God and you're going to grow in your spiritual life. You're going to grow in your ability to love and forgive others and all of those things. And the devil doesn't want to see that fruit. So here's the first one. I choose this day to define myself radically as one beloved of God. This is my true self. Every other identity is illusion. Let's read that together. I choose this day to define myself radically as one beloved of God. This is my true self. Every other identity is illusion. Through our whole lives, we've been called so many things. Sometimes by the people we love, we've been called things like stupid. We've been called idiot. We've been called unworthy. The accuser shows up, uses people in our life and tell us we're not worthy. Maybe you lie to yourself every day and tell yourself that you are not worthy in some way, shape, or form. Those are lies of the devil. Because today, you can radically define yourself. And this isn't something we've made up. This comes right out of the Word of God. You are beloved of God. Everything and every lie everyone else is telling you is nothing more than an illusion. The next one is, as a disciple of Jesus, I am one in whom God dwells and delights. And I live along with others in the unshakable kingdom of God. Do you understand that as disciples of Christ, you are not only not walking alone in this world, there are other disciples around you, but the Lord dwells in you. And while the accuser will tell you, how dare you talk about God being in you? You are unworthy to have God in you. Remember when you did this, remember when you did that, remember when you did this, remember when you did that, remember when you said this, remember when you told that person they were number one when they cut you off on the freeway, remember all of these moments of anger, all of these moments where you slip and you fall, or how about moments of unforgiveness in your life? And you think, God must be far from me right now because I'm unworthy.
Well, we just redefined ourselves as people beloved by God. So now we need to remember that God not only dwells in you, but he delights in you. And on top of that, we get to do this alongside one another. And while sometimes we feel like we're trying to hold the world together and you're trying to hold everybody up, it's not your job to do that. We live in God's unshakable kingdom. So when we get shook, and we do at times, when the accuser comes or even just everyday life things happen and we have to deal with the emotions of our humanity, the things like fear and doubt and worry and all those things, sadness, they come into our life. They do. You're not going to just push a magic button where they disappear. But when they do, how you react is so important. Because if your identity is caught up in all of your wrongs, then you can never get caught up in the identity of what God says. Not only are you my child, but I dwell in you and I delight to be with you. The God of heaven delights to be with you. That should change how you think about yourself. And then finally, this third one that I want to share with you is understanding who we are when God created us. The original creation, the creator created us as eternal beings. And so let's look at this one. I am an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's kingdom. Oh, life is short. What do kids say? YOLO. Right? For the olders, that means you only live once. And that's true. But we are eternal. God created you with an eternal spirit, and your life is eternal. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what do I want to do with my eternity? Well, God has a plan for you. And you are an unceasing spiritual being with the eternal destiny in God's kingdom. And so those three statements are available. They will be available on our website for you to grab them. We can print them out if you want them. So just something you can remind yourself and repeat to yourself over and over and over again so you never forget who you really are. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is just an illusion. You were made in God's image to be in loving union with God. And so here's the challenge. Putting these three ideas into play is this. If you really believe these statements, how would it make a difference in your life? When fear rears its ugly head, when the accuser tries to bring to you old stuff, when the accuser points ahead at certain things we struggle with and tells you, you're going to fall in that again. Oh, you're just who you always were. You can get caught up in that. And when you get caught up in that, you get stuck. And when you're stuck in a rut, you cannot grow. When you get stuck in the lies of the devil, you become paralyzed to grow in the ways of God. And in this time of 21 days of prayer and fasting, I promise you, there will be very difficult moments when the accuser comes to try and get you off track. You might miss a day you signed up to pray. And instead of just saying, oh, Lord, I wasn't there yesterday for reasons, but I'm here now. Because that's what we need to do. Just step right back into it. The accuser will tell you, you might as well give up now. You missed a day. And if you believe those lies, you will miss out on so much. Because God is ready to do something awesome in your life. God is ready to take you to a level where he's just coming out of your pores and the world around you will notice and they will want to know. They will say, how come you're okay? And in that moment, you can say, it's because of Jesus. It's because I know the Lord. It's because I can hear his voice. It's because I spend time in prayer and fasting. Yeah, but didn't you used to? Didn't you come from? Sure. But God spoke over my life and God made me new. You are not who you used to be. And so that's the challenge. You know, with our hearts and our minds focused on this, I hope some of you, I know some of you are fired up to pray. Some of you are fired up to get
onto your day and get into your fasting and seek the Lord. Some of you have no idea what this is about and how to do it. And some of you are scared to death of what God might reveal to you. Well, there's always hope. In this season of new beginning, there is hope. There's always hope when the Lord is with you. And the Lord is with us. Amen? Amen. The Lord is with me. Say it with me. The Lord is with me. Say it again.
The Lord is with me.
Now look at the person sitting next to you and say, the Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you.
Now look at the person on the other side and say it again.
The Lord is with you.
You people on the internet, the Lord is with you. Don't let the accuser take that knowledge away from you. Because the accuser is going to say, no, he's not. And you're going to have to look down the devil and you say, yes, he is. Not today or any day, Satan. Yeah, but everything looks so gloom and there's so much doom. And you look at the world and there's chaos and there's war and there's the left and there's the right and there's the middle and there's the up and there's the down and there's CNN and there's Fox and there's NBC and there's the liars here and there's the social media and oh. I mean, this generation has a term for what it means when you're looking at your phone, right? We used to go to the internet to escape reality. Now they call it doom scrolling because all you're looking at is the bad. And the computers are set up to do that, to keep you in a state of anxiousness and worry and fear and doubt. Remember, we just learned none of those things are from God. Which is why it's so important for us to understand that no matter what's going on around us, there is hope. The book of Lamentations is a great example of that. And the book of Lamentations is a lament over the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. Months of a devastating siege. If you don't know what a siege is, that's when an army comes around your city and circles it and doesn't let anything in or out. And eventually your city runs out of food, runs out of water. You begin to starve to death. They don't even have to shoot. They just cut off all your resources. Well, that's what was happening in Jerusalem. And a lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And what Lamentations is just five chapters. It's written in a poem sort of way, a song, if you will, about these ideas that's going on. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah. And, you know, we think of the great prophets of the Bible. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Imagine being known for the one who was crying all the time. And not just because that commercial makes me sad. Or not just because they're going to get together at the end of the movie. Oh, no. No, this is a legit deep pain and sorrow. His home is being destroyed. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeremiah. He received an unwanted call to minister. Oh, man, I know Jeremiah. And some of you do too. He was called to preach. And while I'm thank God that I get to stand up here and preach hope to you, Jeremiah was called to preach nothing but judgment over God's people. He was forbidden to marry so that he could give himself fully to proclaiming the impending judgment of God. He was very familiar with loneliness. He was a man of deep sadness and he wept openly about the sins of his people. He endured depression. He suffered imprisonment by the king because the king didn't approve of his message. When Jerusalem fell, he had already been taken captive, and he couldn't do anything to help his countrymen. He was locked in a dungeon. When it all went down, the most beautiful thing is that Jeremiah didn't come out of the dungeon and look around at the dead bodies and the rubble that was Jerusalem and look at all the people that did survive and say, I told you so. Because we're real good at I told you so sometimes. But he lamented and he was still able to find hope in a hopeless situation. Thankfully, the Bible can give us an overwhelming amount of evidence of the unchanging faithfulness of God. Even in Lamentations, which can be broken down into these five chapters and these five ideas, there's the grief that Jerusalem has because they disobeyed God. They went away from God and God was bringing judgment. And that's the second part, which is God's wrath. But there's hope. There's consequences of sin. There's prayerful confession. Today we'll be looking at the hope part. And I want to share these two verses with you quickly. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, church, as we go through these 21 days, we get a picture from these words. Because the faithfulness in verse 23, it's firmness, fidelity, steadiness, or steadfastness. Unwavering, unceasing. It is a mercy that is new every morning. Oh, Lord, I'm supposed to fast today, but I was supposed to pray yesterday and I forgot and now I feel so awful. Stop it. God's love hasn't changed. His grace hasn't changed. His mercy for you hasn't changed. His desire to dwell and delight in you is still there. And you need to pick it up and you need to run with it. We know we can depend on God. We can be sure that as we face the storms and the trials and the valleys of life, God will time and time again show up. He will be steadfast. He will be faithful in all of his promises. To put it simply, church, you can count on the Lord. So remember, as you step into this, the accuser's coming. Understand your identity and who you are in God. You are disciples of Christ and he has spoken so much over you. Remember that the lies of the accuser are just that, they are lies. And so here are four things to help you combat the lies of the accuser. Knowing that his love, it never ends. Knowing that his mercies never end. Knowing that every morning he is faithful. Amen. Remember, there is hope because there is complete forgiveness through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise. We can come before God with a repentful heart, and he promises to forgive fully. You have been forgiven fully, and you are purified. Not partial. Complete. Say, I'm complete. I'm completely forgiven. There is hope because God removes our sins completely. You know, well, but if you knew how much I sinned, if you knew what I was doing, no. Psalms 103 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You can't out-sin God's mercy. You can throw his mercy away. You do have power to do that. But he knows. And you cannot out-sin it. There is hope because letting go of the past and embracing a new start is what we're able to do with God. It's what he wants us to do. God calls us to release the burdens and the past mistakes and to just trust him. His word is spoken over your life and he says, I have made you new. Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Church, these aren't my words. I'm not up here putting these together to sound pretty. This is what God has spoken to you, for you, over you. And as you dive into this and you lose hope because the accuser's all up in your business and trying to tell you that you're unworthy of what God has for you, the devil's a liar. Because you can understand you have complete forgiveness. You understand sin has been removed completely. You let go of the past. You embrace that new start. And then forgiveness works in two ways. Because it leads us to a place of peace. It leads us to a place where we're restored before the Lord, but it also gives us the ability to take peace to others, to forgive others, to restore relationships, to rebuild bridges that the enemy has burnt down, that the accuser tells you, how dare you forgive that person? Do you remember what they did? God says, I forgave you, you forgive them. But you can't forgive yourself. But that's why we're here. That's why we're in Lamentations. Oh, but life is so hard. Jerusalem was burning. He comes out of the dungeon and stepping over the dead bodies of his countrymen and still cries out that there is hope in a good God. Church, there is hope today. We're not only the recipients of forgiveness, but we're also called to forgive others. Forgiveness heals relationships and brings peace. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You're going to need to get your heart in the right place if these 21 days are going to be impactful. You're going to need to constantly be resetting and reminding yourself as the accuser comes and begins to pull you down and try and knock you off this path. God will show up. As a matter of fact, he's already there. He's already in that moment that the accuser is planning to trip you up. But when we're focused on him, the traps of the enemy won't work. The word also says that there is no weapon formed against me that will stand. Church, there is no weapon formed against you that will stand. The attacks are coming. Because you're part of God's army. And there's an enemy who wants to cut you down. There's an enemy who wants to take you off the battlefield. The only time we step off this battlefield, church, is when God calls us home. So you're in the battle for the long run. So receive your orders to understand you're completely forgiven, to let go of the past and embrace this new beginning, this new start, and to forgive. That will bring peace and restoration. Because if you really believe what God's word says about you, it should make a difference in how you live. Forgiveness is God's incredible gift to us. It's really a true clean slate where you can start new, where you can let go of those things, whatever they may be, where God's mercy is fresh, where his forgiveness is complete because God longs to restore you to what he created you to be, an unceasing spiritual being in whom he dwells and delights. So let go of guilt. Embrace the grace. Embrace the grace and step into the new beginnings that he offers you today. There's hope in Jesus. For you, for your friends, for your family, for the prodigals in your life, for your spouse, there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that no matter what the accuser throws at us, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we thank you that when we fall short, that we know the accuser will come and remind us how short we've fallen, Lord, but your word has spoken more into our lives. Lord, we don't deserve your goodness or your mercy or your grace, but you've offered it freely. So help us in this time now, Lord, to step into your promise and what you've spoken over our lives. Because you dwell and you delight in us. We are beloved. So give us the right heart over the next 21 days and well beyond, Lord. Help us to grow in you, Lord. Your steadfast love never fails. create in us what you want. In Jesus' name we pray.
Create in me a clean heart.
Can we stand and sing this?
And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto thee the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Restore unto thee the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. All right, I just want you to listen to this. The scripture says, and this signs will accompany those who believe. So in the next 21 days, those who believe. All right, here we go. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they're going to get well. So it's a commission of power, a commission of destiny, a commission of purpose, a commission that nothing can prevent you from doing what God wants to do in your life except yourself if you put the brakes in your life. I welcome 21 days of fasting. How many are joining me in 21 days of fasting? I mean, we got to do this for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. That the Lord will lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.